Well, welcome to our segment two, and this is where we do our Bible study, as you just heard. So we are ready to open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Amy. Okay, we're going to be reading a lot of scripture today, so kind of brace yourselves. I'm going to break it into two parts, though, so that we don't miss anything that's in here. So we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succah, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Succah and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield-bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Well, today we meet Goliath, the Goliath that children know of and can tell you about. He was a giant man. He was huge. He was scary, too. And he was a Philistine. Here we have the Philistine army and the Israelite army facing off for battle. They are ready to tear each other to bits. And then Goliath steps out. Now, it wasn't common for battles to be decided between two champions, one from either army, but it wasn't unheard of at this time period either. The Philistines had Goliath in their army, and this was a way to use him to the fullest advantage. One-on-one, who would think that anyone could defeat this man? The description the Bible gives us of Goliath may not be as awe-inspiring and fear-inducing today as it was back then, but his height we can grasp. He was about 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet and bronze armor, both of which were not lightweight. Simply to be able to carry those two items would make it difficult for an ordinary man to move, much less fight. Yet, that's not all he's got on. He also wears greaves on his legs, and he's carrying a spear with a heavy iron point. Goliath was big, but he wasn't a fool. He protected his body and carried a formidable weapon with which to fight. He didn't rely on just his strength to save him. He didn't show up to a battle without any armor and with only weapons. He showed up ready for a real battle, protecting his body and ready to attack. This guy was scary. He comes out and issues a challenge which clearly shows his own arrogance. Goliath never mentions God. The Israelites are called servants of Saul by Goliath, reminding Saul that he's gotten what he wanted, a nation without God. The only problem is, if God's not in the equation, then that means this is Saul's job to get the people out of this mess. And Saul? Saul's dismayed and terrified. Israel's giant warrior, Saul, quakes in fear before Goliath. Once more, their fear shows that they have forgotten God and broken their covenant with him. Israel was never supposed to fear an enemy based on their covenant promises from God. They were to trust in God for their deliverance. Instead, they put their trust in a human king, and that king failed them. The result is rather pathetic, an entire army standing there quaking in fear of one man. So, continuing in chapter 17, verses 12 through 24 now. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The three oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons who went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next to him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The three eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David his son, "Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well, and bring some token from them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning, and left the sheep with the keeper, and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage, and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. Okay, so David had been attending to the sheep, and now he's asked by his elderly father to come and bring supplies to his brothers who have followed Saul into battle. David had been going back and forth from the sheep to Saul's palace to play music for Saul as he was needed. So he hadn't been residing with Saul at this point. He'd been going kind of back and forth as Saul called to him. And for 40 days, Israel, under Saul's command, did nothing to counter Goliath's challenge. Every day, twice a day, they listened to this man call them cowards, mock them, and challenge them, and they shook with fear and hid. There's been over a month of this going on, no one taking any real action, and God's army is scared out of their wits. How pathetic a sight is this? To see God's people quaking with fear in the face of this man and his army? And why? Has no one in the army called on God for strength in the past 40 days? David arrives with supplies for his brothers, and I wonder what he saw when Goliath stepped out and made his challenge. He didn't see Goliath as the army did. We know that, or what happens next wouldn't have happened. He arrives and sees the whole thing with a new perspective. The biggest difference is the focus that David had. Everyone else was focused on themselves. Of course you would run in fear if all you saw was a giant and you were afraid that your king would tell you to go fight him. If you had no notion of anyone else backing you up, you'd be scared too. But they did have backup, and not just in the form of a person. They had God backing them up. But no one seems to remember that yet. No one had called upon God in prayer and supplication, asking for the strength in helping to defeat Goliath. They all just hid. And I'm betting the quaking and hiding got worse after 40 days of constant threats and no action on either side. Their nerves had to be stretched to the limit. The constant tension of knowing you were there for a battle that hadn't happened yet. The constant threat of danger. The constant fear as you saw this giant. It was unnerving. And there was no relief either, because they were relying on their own strength to end this battle, even though they knew their own strength was not up to the task. They all knew they couldn't do it alone. So step back and look at this today. Do you see their mistake? Do you see what Israel missed so easily? They missed God. These were the same people who know God can part the waters of the Red Sea, who watched God bring the walls of Jericho down with a shout, who watched plague after plague in Egypt. Yet one man, and granted, he wasn't a small guy, he was pretty big, but one man brings God's people to their knees because they can't see above this man to see God. If they'd only stopped hiding and raised their eyes up above Goliath, they would have seen their salvation. They would see God, and then they would not be afraid. Now, do you realize that we have access to God's promises of deliverance and salvation today? Did you realize that we should have nothing to fear from men either? God is still there to take care of us. He is still there to guide us and protect us. Yet, how often do we stand there, shaking in our boots, as we face something that we can't hope to triumph over? On our own, that is. How quickly we forget that we aren't supposed to triumph on our own. We're supposed to rely on His strength and His guidance to carry us through. Just as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.' His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Is it easy to rely on Him and His strength to carry us through? No, it's not. Does that require faith? Oh my, yes. And can it be scary? Absolutely. But is it worth it? Always. What we fail to remember is we are not supposed to handle anything without Him.
No matter what we face, when we're trying to do it alone, we're going to end up quaking in our boots. However, when we do it with God, it's a whole different story. Now, I'm sure you probably know what I'm going to ask. How often do we do this? How often do I do this? How often do we feel that we are faced with insurmountable odds, and so we stick our heads in the sand and hope it will go away? We have the power and the strength of the Creator on our side. Why do we hide? Who can fight against us if God is for us? Remember, Psalm 121, verse 1 says, "I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." We need to raise our eyes up out of the dirt and look to Him. We need to see through His eyes, and we need to rely on His strength. And suddenly, nothing is insurmountable. Don't you want that? When our eyes are on Him and His will, we are in the best place we could possibly be, even if we are in a dark, dank jail cell like Paul was. Paul, who, though his legs were shackled with Silas and his arms were chained to the wall, sat and sang praise to God and was full of God's peace because he knew where his strength was really from. So think about that today. Where does your help come from? Yourself or your Creator?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.